Board of Supervisors will come out of closed session. Council, would you report?
Yes, the board went into closed session at 9:12 a.m. and came out of closed session at 9:37 a.m. with regards to item 11A, Chang versus County of Siskiyou, no reportable action was taken. The board will return to closed session at the end of the session.
Thank you. We are at item 4, presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend that time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. And I'm sorry, we have in the audience today to give us a report. The new Klamath National Forest Supervisor, I only know your first name, Chris, so I'm sorry, I can't give stuff. Christofferson?
Okay. Yeah, my last name is similar to the first.
So okay, come up here to the podium. Good morning. I'm glad to have you here.
Good morning, supervisors. Yeah, pleased to be here. And I was here several years ago under similar circumstances.
We just need your name for the record and for the Zoom.
Yeah, Wendy, sorry. Chris Christofferson, Forest Supervisor on the Klamath National Forest.
Thank you.
Several years ago, I was here presenting an update on a fire, and I'm sorry to be here again presenting an update on another fire. I do have the two incident commanders coming in, and they will also be presenting more specific information. But the Shelley Fire is a full suppression incident. We are in unified command with CAL FIRE, and we're taking immediate actions to prevent, you know, any structure loss, life or property. And so this has been a full suppression incident from the very beginning. We ordered air attack on it. We authorized full mechanical authorization in the wilderness area because of where the fire started, which was right off the Pacific Crest Trail in the mutual threat zone. And we immediately recognized the potential for this to move out of the wilderness area and then down into the wildland-urban interface. And so we've taken this very seriously from the very beginning. With that said, I'm going to let the incident commanders provide a specific update on how the fire is going. I want to pivot slightly to, I'm very excited about being here and working in Siskiyou County and working on the Klamath National Forest. I know there is a master stewardship agreement in place with Siskiyou County. It has yet to be utilized by the forest. I've already talked to my staff about this, and they're interested in figuring out what an appropriate project is to move forward with the county. And so looking to utilize that master stewardship agreement. I've been on the Modoc National Forest for 10 years, 6 years as a district ranger, and 4 years as the forest supervisor. During that time, we have standing cooperator meetings that include board of supervisors, also interested members of the public, ranchers, permittees, etc. Those have been very effective at just, you know, one, getting to know each other, figuring out where our overlapping interests lie, and then how to design projects with mutual community benefit, whether it be recreation, whether it be, you know, timber management, whether it be, you know, improvements for grazing allotments. But I've been engaged with those for 10 years, and we meet monthly. And so I don't know if anything like that exists currently. Speaking with Supervisor Haupt, it sounds like there is not a standing meeting. But I'm interested in talking to you and your staff about, you know, are we interested in doing something like that? Is there value in that? I live in a small rural community in Fall River Mills. I understand some of the challenges that those communities face. I'm interested in, you know, working with you and the communities to leverage the assets we've got on our national forests, whether it be water, whether it be recreation opportunities, vegetation management, to, again, help diversify the economies that we have in Siskiyou County. and to make the forest a safer, healthier place for us to live and recreate in. So with that, I will close. I don't know if you would like to ask me any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Christofferson? And your incident commanders will be here later, is that what I'm understanding?
I told them 10 o'clock.
Okay,
all right. So.
Okay, no worries.
So if that works for the
board. Yeah, we'll make it work.
Okay, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Welcome and thank you.
Thank you.
James Leach.
Oh, he is for a specific item.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, 8-8, I see you. Sorry. Unless you want to speak now. No? We'll wait? Okay.
Anytime, just okay. Before you make a decision.
Okay. Any other public comment? Anyone online?
Not online.
Okay. We'll go on to item 5, consent agenda.
So moved.
Take your choice. I have a motion and a second.
Chris and Ogren, correct? And none to poll, correct? Let's see. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye. Item 6A, County Administration, Rule 28. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Supervisors. Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator. And I am also here today with the City of Etna Mayor, Beth Munson, seeking direction from the board in regards to the transfer of a portion of Siskiyou County's CPUC Rule 28 credits to the City of Etna. I'll give you a little bit of background and why we're here today. For those that don't know what the Rule 28 credits are, the California Public Utilities Commission Rule 28 is a regulation that governs the undergrounding of overhead utility lines. It aims to improve public safety, enhance the aesthetic appeal of communities, and reduce the risk of fire hazards associated with overhead wires. Historically, Rule 28 has allowed utilities to annually allocate funds defined as work credits to communities, either cities or unincorporated areas of the county, to convert overhead electric facilities to underground. Work credits act as a sort of voucher and non-monetary dollars assigned to a local government, which the local government can redeem to perform undergrounding projects in consultation with a serving utility, in our case Pacific Power, on a one work credit to $1 basis. Pacific Power is authorized to make Rule 28 expenditures by the CPUC, which are then recovered from customers through electricity rates. The last allocations added to a city or county's work credit balance under Rule 28 was January of 2022, as Pacific Power discontinued allocating new Rule 28 credits after December 31st, 2022. Thus, the maximum amount of work credits are set and will not increase moving forward. In order to use existing credits, a community has until June 8th, 2025 to enter into a signed resolution with Pacific Power for Rule 28 overhead to underground conversion. A project entered into within that time frame will be designated as an active project. No resolutions for Rule 28 projects will be entered into after June 8th, 2025, and all work credits not assigned to an active project will expire. The mayor of City of Etna approached the county in June, inquiring as to the county's willingness to transfer some of our work credits to the city. They want to convert overhead power to underground from the museum to Collier Street, but lack the full amount of credits to do so. At this time, the county has over 5.4 million work credits, and the city is seeking 100,000 of those credits. And you may remember in 2018, the county did something similar with the City of Weed when they wanted to install street lights and underground utilities in the Bel Air neighborhood. The county has no immediate plans to utilize these credits, and as mentioned earlier, if a project is not entered into before June of next year, the credits will expire. As the city has a desire to move forward with undergrounding projects, is in need of the work credits, and the county has no planned use for these credits, I would make a recommendation that we move forward with a resolution transferring the requested amount of credits from the county's allocation to the city, which I would bring forward as a resolution in August. Additionally, the city would like to inquire about the transfer of future credits to complete undergrounding projects in the more forested area of the city that would come back at a later date for request. That is all I have for you. If you have questions for Cliff, or Cliff, if you have anything you'd like to say about the project, I'll give it to Cliff and open it to you for questions.
So, interestingly, supervisors, Cliff Munson, I'm coming as both the mayor of Aetna and as the manager of the Siskiyou Golden Fairgrounds, which is a county property that is on a long-term lease to the state as the DAA. So, interestingly, if you don't mind, I'm going to go into a little history. So, I learned about these underground credits a few years ago when Supervisor Valenzuela came to the fairgrounds and encouraged me to approach a project underground the Fairlane Road because it's, like it said, aesthetically, it would be a lot nicer to bury those. At that time, because that part of the fairgrounds is in the city of Wairika, I went to the city of Wairika, and they only had 18,000 credits, and still to this day only have 18,000 credits left on their list, so obviously not nearly enough to do the project. I did not realize that the county had amassed this huge amount of credits. So first, as the fair manager, I thought it would be behoove me to come before I spend the money to engineer or do all the rest of the projects, is to just see what your thoughts were about doing the front of Fairlane. But then if no other city or municipality is interested in these credits, the city of Aetna would be really interested in burying more of our power lines. We have a tremendous amount of trees in Aetna. I drove around last night. I should have taken a few pictures, but we have at this time some power lines that are running through trees. And I just, of course, with where we're sitting right now on the edge of another evacuation zone as a city, it just, I think it's just smart. And I just think that if we come up with the plan to do this, it cost us money to create the plans. So I was coming to see what your thoughts would be on, you know, using up the rest of these credits before they go away in June of 2025. And I don't know if anybody else had come interested, but that's where we're sitting as Aetna and myself as the fair manager.
Thank you. So let's take up the first part first.
Okay.
With the 100,000, is that all you need, at least for this project?
Yes. So we do have this project in place. So as a small city that is financially strapped all the time, we did get the money to repave that section of Main Street. So we are really hoping that we have 181,000 credits and we need 100,000 more to do the power part of the project. And so we were trying to get these 100,000 so that we don't keep working at it and then someday have to tear up Main Street when it doesn't get repaved again for another 30 years to just get this project done. And so that's why we separated the 100,000 off, because that project's underway.
Okay.
And then the rest of it is just, I just hope that we don't let these credits go
right
back.
No, understood. Yeah, I got you there. So, Ms. Davis, that doesn't have anything to do financially for the county. It's just to transfer these credits.
Correct.
Okay. So let's take up the request first, and then I'll step out a little bit, and we'll go on to the other part. But on the 100,000, I'm looking for action from the board, or if you have any questions, we'll get those out now, but if not, I'm looking for action.
So we can get into that more, but I'll make an initial motion to give transfer.
Okay.
The
all right. Okay. I'll second it.
All right. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye. And so I would, you know, we'll see where we go with the board with this, but I'm open to the Fairlane project, but I think what we need to figure out here is, in fairness, kind of put it, I don't want to call it an RFP, but we need to spend those down to get rid of them by next year, and it might be good to broadcast to the cities if there's projects out there that we could use this on, and then funnel them in to whether it's this board or to a committee that brings it to this board for final recommendation, so that we don't lose those, because once they're gone, we're not going to get them back. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yeah, so this is something that's always been near and dear to my heart. I came to Mr. Munson years ago, and I guess I should quantify, hey, we have credits that are not being used. I think personally that we should just send a blank letter to each city.
Yeah.
Because this is something, the time to do it is when you're going to do a road project. Mm-hmm. Just to willy-nilly pick a spot.
Yeah.
That's a very simplistic way of utilizing credits. Fact is they're not building. They're not,
right.
That project's, that Rule 20 is going away. I think we'd go, city, we want to know. I know I've gone to the city of Denver, city of Mount Shasta, work the county, for God's sake, the road department. If we're going to do a project, let's just underground utilities. I think of it strictly from a fire safety thing with all the with power and stuff like that. I'm surprised that the city of Wairika didn't want to take advantage of that, quite honestly. But again, knowing that we have a short window, I would send a synopsis of these to the cities. There's an opportunity here if you've got a project, and I would still look to the county for a project.
Agreed.
Sure.
Supervisor Over.
So not only do we need to think about fire, but we also need to think about wintertime, because trees and power lines, big problem. So wintertime, we lose power all the time because our trees are getting in our lines. So it's another huge issue in places where we have a lot of trees. And Cliff, I know you deal with that all the time over in Scott Valley, so especially Aetna area. So whatever city we deal with, if we're going to look at that where we have treed areas, whether it's Mount Shasta, Aetna, Wairika, any of those areas that we can convert overhead to underground, it's great as far as power reliability. So those are areas we need to consider.
That'd be something in MacDoll, right?
Anywhere.
To Chris,
anywhere. And with that amount of credits that we have, it's a huge amount, but it doesn't go very far when you're talking $100,000 or $200,000 worth at a time. So we need to really consider, you know, what projects and how, you know, how we use those efficiently.
So if I could just piggyback real quick. So I know that, like, when we did the project down in Happy Camp, I said, hey, there's an opportunity there. The highway's doing all that. Again, and you kind of raised part of the issue. Those credits sound like a lot, but they didn't get you a whole lot. I mean, it's wildly expensive to underground utilities.
Again, I would also consider consulting with Pacific Core to look at the reliability issues and find out where those areas are that have the most outages with their overhead lines, and we can look at the areas that are most affected and be able to use those credits most efficiently.
Supervisor Chris.
Yeah, thank you. No, I agree with my colleagues, their points on it. I think in the letter that we send the cities, is it possible to say approximate this covers a project of so many a certain distance? Reason being on that is we
I think
5.4 million sounds like a lot, so we have to be clear. We have to be clear in the 5.4 million that it's not going to be the whole county. We're not going to do the whole city, but in practicality, it's only going to cover so much, and there's a high demand, and it can only cover so much. We have to be realistic in it, because you send it to the city manager, I can do my whole. Wow, this is awesome. This can only do so much. So we're setting reasonable expectations for it?
Sure. So I can reach out to the regional manager and maybe put something in the letter that advises cities to reach out to them for a cost estimate. I know undergrounding can be expensive. I saw a figure that quoted $1 million per mile. So
I think that
would get eaten up quickly. So I would behoove cities to reach out to Pacific Power and find out what's feasible for them.
I think the issue for me, Supervisor Chris, is that the costs are so wildly, you can't give a city a specific, hey, this is going to cost you X. Every project is unique, and so I think it's incumbent upon them to see if it's, to see if it works for them. I think what we're going to find is most cities are probably going to say, yeah, sounds good, but the time frame is not possible, so to speak. And then just real quick, as a follow-up, I did raise this, Supervisor Oberman, if you recall, with Pacific Power, when we do the wildfire and about utilizing these credits, they're not very receptive to doing it, and I get it, because it's a huge cost for them. It's something they were told to do, not just Pacific Power, all the utilities. Mm-hmm. And so they're not raising their hand, let's just spend these credits and do something.
Sure. And just for clarification, June 2025 is the deadline to get a resolution for a project. Mm-hmm. That's not the deadline to finish the project. Right. That's until 2033. If a city is able to enter into a resolution, have their project deemed active, but they have some sort of hang-up, their project will be put on hold, so it won't expire. It's just on hold until they get their plans, until they get their budget, until they get that kind of stuff figured out. So just for clarification, projects don't have to be completed by 2025. Just the resolution with Pacific Power needs to be entered into with the municipality.
Okay.
It's nice to have a balanced wireless experience with this sort of stuff.
Well, then to finish up,
go ahead.
Two other areas. I think a good person to coordinate with would be Melissa Cummins, and she's dealing with a lot of the road stuff. She's great outreach with the cities right now, and also LTC, you know, the stuff going on here. She knows the projects happening, so I think that would be, you know, behooved to have that connection of what's happening. And then I also think of the community service districts. So I say, here I am on one hand saying we only have so much money. On the other hand, you think of McLeod, you think of those areas, but you might be the connection to say, hey, yeah, there's a project happening in McLeod in 2030, this kind of into it, so the community service districts don't get left, left aside.
They're kind of mini cities on their own.
Sure.
Yeah.
The only thing I would add to this dialogue is that you put a deadline for submission from however you broadcast this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe it's September 30th.
Sure.
Because the sooner you get at least an idea of what we're looking at, the better. Because if we drag it out, we may lose the whole thing. So.
Agreed.
Okay.
Noted.
All right.
All right.
That's all we need to do.
That's it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Wendy, you okay?
Yep.
All right, let's go on to item B, which is the county clerk's item.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor Munson.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, this is a request to set a personnel appeal hearing on behalf of a sheriff's office employee. The clerk's office received this on June 26, 2024. The appellant's representative estimated one day for the hearing. In addition, the representative also asked was asked about possible hearing dates. At the time the agenda worksheet was created, the clerk's office had not been given possible hearing dates. If we could continue this, I may hear something when you guys go into closed. I may hear something today, but I kind of doubt it. They haven't been very specific unless personnel has heard on this one.
Nothing.
Okay.
So we, at this point, won't be meeting again until August.
Correct.
So if there's any indication of dates, it'd be great to get them today if that's possible.
Yeah.
I get that, but...
Yeah, maybe while you're enclosed, I can email them.
Maybe do something, because that's three weeks, almost a month out, that we'd be talking about it again. So,
if we could hold, maybe come back to that later in the
Supervisor
meeting.
Chris?
This was the one we had next Tuesday?
No. This is
the
different
additional
one. Okay.
So maybe later today I can get a little bit more info.
Okay.
Okay.
You'll report back before we end today?
Yes.
Right. Item C is county clerk again.
This is the one that was set for a Health and Human Services Behavioral Health Division employee. It was set for the July 16, which would have been a special meeting, but it's not going to be enough time for notification of both sides. And I did verify with the appellant that this person is not available for hearing dates between July 19 and August 6. So anything after August 6 would give us a little bit more time. Of course, August 13th is our next regular meeting.
I forget, how long was this one anticipated? A half day?
This
or
was
less?
A half day, I believe.
Or less?
Yeah.
So, and you said August 6th?
Would be the last day that's not good.
They can't do.
Correct.
So then the 13th we meet, is that correct? So let's schedule for the 13th.
And Haley, that'll be enough time for notifications, correct? Okay.
And do we want to set a time? Go ahead, Ms. Reed.
Natalie Reed, County Council, I was just going to say when the board does do this, just vacating the a motion to vacate the present hearing.
Correct.
Okay. Do we want to set it like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or first thing in the morning?
Well, we have a board meeting.
It's a regular board meeting day.
2 o'clock.
Okay.
Maybe 2 p.m. Okay.
Okay.
And we said that was 8:13.
Correct.
So basically the afternoon of that day. Okay.
Okay. So we're looking for action to vacate the current hearing next week, which is the 16th, and reschedule to August 13th at 2 o'clock. And I need action on it.
Action to move.
Thank you. Okay.
Chris and Obrin, correct?
Yes.
All right. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Obrin and Supervisor Kobzev?
Aye.
Thank you.
I know we have one public comment. I want to go to item 8A, the emergency debt on the lower Klamath. I don't want to hold Mr. Leach up for what we're going to go into in hearings. So he's welcome to stay after, but let's take up item 8A.
8A.
If there's no staff present, you won't call the comment first, don't you?
Well, I want to, is there anybody here to tee it up?
Angela Davis County Administrator, we're requesting to extend. Is the recommendation.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Leach, do you want to comment on this item? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is James Leach. I live on the Klamath River, just below Collier's Rest Area. I just wanted to comment on this item. The sludge, and I noticed the county is now actually doing some sludge testing in this last week. And the results probably won't be back for a week or two, but I'm sure they'll be just as bad or more than what was on my property when I had it tested, which had mercury, cadmium, chromium, and barium, which KRRC never tested for in any of the samplings out of the lakes. When they blew Copco Dam out, we got all that sludge on our property. Iron Gate was still half full. So the worst of that sludge settled into Iron Gate and is still there. They haven't been able to flush it out of there. And the Copper Dam, just right there at Iron Gate, that they'll be tearing out at the end of this month, the first of next month. And I hope they would keep the emergency declaration until we can test for what they're going to put out in the river in the next month. I'm sure the sludge is going to be just as bad or worse. I'm sure there are hot spots behind the dam and nobody's ever tested for them. So I hope you would extend the declaration until after the dams are removed and we have time to test all that sludge. Because the first flood is going to be completely covering our property and a lot of other properties. So if it is bad, we need to know exactly what it is. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And the county's testing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, any online?
Showing none online.
Okay, bring it back to the board.
If there's no board comments, I would move to extend.
Okay. I'll second.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
No.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copso?
Aye. All right, we will recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as Assistant County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. This is a public hearing. Well, first we're going to do public comment. Is there any public comment? In house? Seeing none. Online?
Showing none online.
Okay. We are at, what is it, 7B1, Flood
7B1.
Control District Natural Resources Public Hearing Resolution adopting the Butte Valley Subbasin Groundwater Sustainability Plan. Good morning, Mr. Parker.
Good morning, Matt Parker, Siskiyou County Natural Resources. I also have available through Zoom Dr. Laura Foglia. She's our team leader from Larry Walker, and she'll have a few slides on this item. So a quick recap, in January of this year, the Flood District received a letter from DWR deeming the groundwater sustainability plan incomplete and gave us, or which started a six-month process to correct the plan per their recommendations and resubmit by July 16th. So here we are, that is next week. We've had numerous meetings with our advisory committee, including stakeholders, with DWR to go through these efficiencies and make corrections where we felt gave us a chance for an approved plan. There were some difficult discussions with the community and the advisory committee, but I think we all reached a pretty good resolve in putting things into the plan that DWR will approve. You know, we had times of disagreement with DWR during the process, but that's okay. That's all part of the process. So I think we feel we have a good correction. And so I'll stop and I'll let Laura kind of run through kind of where we were and where we're at in terms of what's being corrected.
Thank you very much, Mark. And thank you, everybody, for be available. You have a lot of things to consider in this day, so I'll try to be brief. And you've already seen some of these slides when Dr. Arthur presented it last time, but this is kind of the latest, greatest version that we presented to DWR. And I, adding on top of what Matt said, the last meeting with DWR seemed pretty positive. So I think probably we got to some solutions that they had finally some good reaction from DWR. So recapping, the first deficiency that DWR found in our Butte basin plan was that the need to reevaluate the assessment of overdraft condition in the basin. And so what we did, if I go next, we really went through revamping all the numbers in terms of water budget and storage change. You know, the storage change is really when the groundwater levels go down, the amount of water which is available gets less and less. And we look at different time, because in Butte Valley, like everywhere else, but in Butte Valley even more, all the changes are fully linked to the climate, not only to how much water is pumped, but there is really a strong connection with the climate. And why do I say that in Butte Valley is even more than in other places? Because Butte Valley doesn't really have surface water. So the only source of water is groundwater. So we look at the numbers and we look at different combination, and basically we use these numbers to reevaluate the model, the storage changes that we presented in the plan. And then next. And then basically we use this new number to answer to deficiency, the second deficiency, where they were asking us to provide reasonable means to mitigate the overdraft that is continuing to occur in the basin. Next. So we revamped the Butte Valley model. Now it's much better model. I think I showed it to you last time. We are already using it for assessing some potential well impact. But basically what we did is we ran the model for a long time, like here in the plot. Basically this is the change in storage and all the water budget terms up to 2140, so basically 100 years after everything needs to be sustainable. And what we did is, based on the number that I showed in the table before, we decided that it looks like having an amount of pumping not to exceed 65,000 acre feet per year, which is similar to the average of what was pumped between 1919 and 2014. This seemed to be like, the way I called it was kind of the magic number. And with this number, it looks like the brown dots that you see on the map, which is the cumulative storage change, really doesn't go very low anymore, doesn't go below zero as much. It's pretty stable. So, and you know, we will have to try. And it's not that we need to implement this tomorrow. We have some time to really come to demonstrating this 65,000. But it looks like a number that the advisory committee seem to be willing to accept. Next. So then this table really summarizes the pumping over many different periods. So you see, if we take 1990 to 2023, the estimated groundwater pumping was 67,000 acre feet per year. So it's not really far from the 65 that we are shooting for. If you take a wet time, like 1990 to 2000, it's only 61. And then if we take the dry time, which was 2000 to 2024, it was 70. So the number are not so big, and what we were talking about was on average, like eventually reduction on groundwater use of up to 10%. And this reduction can come from different, with different solutions, can come from efficiency, from just following as needed, but we will figure it out in the next few years. Next. The second thing that we need to just justify is really looking into how we will show that this this 65,000 will really help us out with mitigation of the overdraft. So the numbers and the model seem to already be showing that 65,000 is going to work out. And as I said, this requires about 10% reduction in groundwater extraction, might be 15% in some critically dry years. And how do we achieve this reduction? It can be through irrigation efficiency, a better assessment of what the crop really needs, and a water allocation program that can be worked out in the next few years. It's not required in Butte Valley, but we added it as an option in the GSP. And then we will have to do some monitoring. So we can monitor this reduction through having some flow meters on representative fields, and this has also been vetted and approved by the advisory committee meetings. We can have some more ET evapotranspiration stations to really understand that crop needs, and some soil moisture sensors. As I said, the groundwater allocation framework has been added as a potential project and management action, but we set a timeline to evaluation and eventual development by the end of 2025. Next. So the second, the other deficiency, the deficiency B1 was that the GSP did not describe in a specific quantitative way the undesirable results that we aim to avoid through implementing the plan. So we reworked on that. And next slide. Now in the GSP, we defined both a qualitative and quantitative undesirable results. So the qualitative undesirable results is really that we don't want to see impacts to environmental uses and users. We don't want to see reduction in pumping capacity, and we don't want to see dry domestic wells. Obviously, some domestic wells, that if they are very shallow, may go dry. But what we evaluated based on our well failure analysis is that what we consider like a mitigable results, undesirable results, is if up to 20% of the domestic well go dry. And because if up to 20% is what using a well mitigation program over the next 20 years can most likely be mitigated in Butte Valley. And again, it's gonna be a combination of efforts with the GSA, Environmental Health, Office of Emergency, and other possible grants. So if we look at 20% of domestic wells are estimated to be about 40 to 50 wells, as I said, over the next about 20 years. When we come to the quantitative undesirable results, we are saying that it's more than 25% of the representative monitoring sites that eventually would fall below our minimum threshold for two consecutive years. And this was not really well described in the previous GSP. Next. So we also need to show that there are no negative effects to beneficial uses and users at the undesirable results condition, and some rationale for determining the number of wells that may be dewatered and the impacts to groundwater dependent ecosystems while implementing the plan. So what we did is we developed this well failure analysis and we updated the groundwater dependent ecosystem assessment. And these are really ongoing tasks. So we better described it in the GSP, but it's not that we have all the answers right now. There is just one other thing that I want to point out in the next slide, and then I think I can wrap up. So for the well mitigation project, a program, we are also saying that we will develop together with the GSA and the advisory committee, we will develop this plan by December 2025. The GSA is committed to funding mitigation for up to 20% of domestic wells if needed. And in 2024, we are already actively mitigating four domestic wells in Butte Valley through other type of grants. So long-term sustainable funding option will be part of the FEE study and other available grants. And there will be also some collaboration with Office of Emergency. Next. So finally, we also revised the minimum threshold. So just to remind you, the minimum threshold is basically, sorry, the value where we don't want to go. So it's basically the lowest possible groundwater levels that we can accept. Just a second. Okay, sorry. And so we had to revise a little bit the minimum threshold because DWR didn't really like the way we set them up. And if you go into the next slide, we basically set up the minimum threshold at the higher bound that we set, we defined in the previous plan, which is still very giving us a big operational flexibility. So the minimum threshold is the orange line, and where we would like to be is the green part of the plot here. What we found out through our well failure analysis is that even if we say that 20% of the well going dry are considering mitigable results, undesirable results, actually with the orange minimum threshold that we set there, only 12% of the well are eventually expected to go dry. So it's much less than the 20% that can be considered as mitigable results. So this made us think that changing this minimum threshold is not gonna change the way the plan will be developed and implemented, and it's not gonna have any bigger impact on the project management actions. Next. And I think this is pretty much closing it up. We started reassessing the groundwater dependent ecosystem as well, and we are doing that through data collection, so we didn't make a big change in the GSP other than really looking at the potential data that will tell us something more about groundwater dependent ecosystems. Next. And if you got all the GSP in your package, we completely rewrote appendix with the well failure analysis, which is really domestic well going dry is pretty much the biggest potential desirable results that we would have in Butte Valley. So we revised all the numbers, and the new numbers are really making us feel comfortable that these are undesirable results are all mitigable and will not create any impact on the GSP implementation. Next. And that's it. If you are curious, I just have a map on the last slide that shows, just to give you an idea, you know, this is the shape of Butte Valley. The area with the red parcels is basically where there might be potential groundwater-dependent ecosystems, which is the area of Miss Lake. And as you see, we are starting collecting. All the dots are new data that we are collecting, and all the new dots are around that area that they were not there before, and to really try to understand what's happening in that part of the basin. And this is pretty much it. I think we are almost done reformatting and preparing everything so that we are looking into submitting the new version of the plan by Friday.
Okay, anything further on the staff report, Mr. Parker?
Nothing from me.
A presentation of correspondence?
None at the clerk's level.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Anyone in the house? Seeing none. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
I see one in the house. Come on up. Mr. Christofferson.
Chris Christofferson, Forest Supervisor of the Klamath National Forest. My question to the presenter is the model sensitive to large vegetation actions that influence infiltrations, specifically wildfire or large-scale thinning projects to increase infiltration?
Okay, thank you. Mr. Parker, how do you want to handle that?
I would defer to Laura to answer that. That's all right.
One second, Laura. Is it okay for that to be addressed at this juncture, Ms. Reed?
Sorry. Can you bring my attention to
this? Mr. Christofferson brought up a question for Dr. Foglia in correspondence. Should I wait until I get the public comment on that, or?
It's at the chair's discretion if you want to deviate.
I mean, it's in reports or arguments of staff or other county departments or public agencies. Let's take it. We'll make it easy. Go ahead, Dr. Foglia.
Okay, thank you. So, Laura Fadaleri, Walker Associates. So, the question is good, and actually, this is exactly what we are exploring with all our models, I have to say, for the three basins, and not just for Butte. We are really looking into what's the impact of changes in vegetation and changes due to wildfire to the infiltration. We just compiled a huge table that shows all the existing project, and we have it as one of the component of the grant. So we don't have it in this GSP in this plan version, but we have we had a lot of discussion with the advisory committees, and that's also why we are really expanding our network closer to areas that eventually can tell us something about increased infiltration or increase. And maybe decrease on ET because, you know, you remove some vegetation, you can decrease the evapotranspiration up on the sides of the valley. So it's a great question, and we are really working on that for actually all the three Siskiyou County basins.
Thank you, Mr. Got it? Okay. We're at proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Anyone online? The proponent.
Caller ending in 2083, are you a proponent for this item? Caller ending in 2083, are you a proponent for this item?
Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in house? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Public comment. Anyone in house? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Both. Yeah.
I apologize
nothing.
To the chair. One online.
We still have, okay, we'll go back to that, the public comment on this item.
Caller ending in 2083, it's your turn to speak.
Hi, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Angelina Cook calling in from McLeod. I was wanting to ask Laura Oglia a question about the presentation. Is this an appropriate time to do so?
You can ask me the question and then we'll go from there. How's that?
Okay. I was just wanting to clarify. When Laura says, well, mitigation, does that just mean deepening the domestic wells that are going dry?
Okay, is that it? We'll get an answer to it. Is Dr. Foggia still on? Did you hear that, Dr. Foggia?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here. It's going to be potentially deepening or maybe drilling a new well. That's something that will be decided case by case. Because it's not the same for each well, so we didn't go into that level of detail right now. Also, because the ones that are dry right now are already being drilled actually this week. So if there are this in the this week and for 3 weeks, there will be drillers out in Butte Valley. So it really depends on the well.
Thank you. Mr. Parker, anything to add to that further? Okay. So there's no rebuttal by proponents and no rebuttal by opponents since there was none on both counts. Any questions from the board before I close the hearing? Seeing none from the board, I'll close the hearing, bring it back to the board for discussion and more action. Supervisor Chris.
Yeah, for board discussion. Yeah, 2015, there was a conference on groundwater management segment. Dallas put a paper on my desk and said you need to go to it. It was there in Williams. And then I went to a meeting there at the Butte Valley Community Center, put on by the Chamber of Commerce, and a gentleman walked up to me and said, the county better not control my groundwater. And I said, well, this is a state requirement. And he looked at me and said, the county better be the ones controlling this, not the state. It was interesting that flip on it. So in Butte Valley, there's no governmental entity to take over the groundwater management, as seen with Shasta and Scott. So having the flood control district step up and assume this responsibility has been a burden, but also a blessing in regards to safeguarding the resources we need best for all three basins. In regards to, there's a question by Mr. Christopherson from the Forest Service. There is work being done on the deep creek, on juniper tree removal and those sorts of things for revegetation. I'll check up with him afterwards. I'll let him know. Of course, one concern I always have is surface water. The surface water is not very much flood in the deep valley as there used to be, but the surface water does recharge the shallow groundwater wells. And so it's something we need to watch and monitor as we move along. When you start limiting water application, it could be, ironically, it could impact domestic wells that are dependent upon it. So with that, I'm supportive of what's been done and the approach that's been taken so far.
Anyone else? If not, I'm looking for action by the board.
Action, I would make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Alrighty. Director Valenzuela.
Yes.
Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Kopsev.
Aye. You want to take a break?
A little break would
five
be great.
5 minutes?
Yep.
We'll recess for 5 minutes. So is that okay for you guys? You're good? Okay.
Absolutely, sir.
Okay.